You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, time for Ask a Pastor, and it is 23 minutes before 1. I'm hoping we'll be able to squash all of our answers in the 23 minutes. And our question for today with our Ask a Pastor question, what is your view on tattoos and body art? I am looking forward to the pastor answering this question. Your views on tattoos and body art, does it conflict with spiritual values? To give us some perspective and some answers on this, and for an answer, ask a pastor, it's Pastor Eric Ticharwa. Or is it Ticharwa? Yeah. Pastor Eric Ticharwa, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to be our Ask a Pastor pastor today.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mfunis. I'm looking forward to your answer. Yesterday's answers were mind-blowing stuff. I'm grateful that you agreed to be our pastor this week. And I'm sad that we only got to talk to you yesterday only. But we're here now. Let's get into it. What is your view, Mfunis, on tattoos and body art? Does it conflict with the spiritual values?
All right. So this is an interesting question. We want to approach it theologically. First of all, we have to again agree that we don't have a direct plain text in the Bible, either New or Old Testament, which says it is a sin to put a tattoo on your body. Many people would like to quote Leviticus 19, verse 28. But when we look at it in the context, you will find that when God was addressing the children of Israel about making those tattoos, they were tattoos dedicated to pagan gods. All right? So now in that context now, we can...
Sorry, Mfunis. I want to remind you, you are teaching us, so we need to go to the texts you're referring to. If you're saying we must go to Leviticus, I want us to read Leviticus so that even those who don't know what it says, they know. And I, for one, want to learn what you're referring to in Leviticus. Take us where? Which chapter do you want us to read in the book of Leviticus?
All right. Leviticus 19, verse 28.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Are you going to read it, Pastor, yes, or shall I?
Oh, you can read it for us. It's okay.
All right. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. And again, we have no particular choice. It's just a version we have in the studio or our makeshift studio here. 19 verse 28. Correct, Pastor?
Yeah.
It reads, "Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord."
All right. Yeah. So I was saying this is the verse that we as Christians believe that people should not put tattoos on their bodies. That is writing or putting those design, these artistic features on their bodies. Many people who are against that, they use this Leviticus 19 verse 28, where God told the children of Israel that he would not want them to put tattoos on their bodies. But then when we look in the context of the chapter, this is when the children of Israel are settling in Canaan. The pagan nations that were in this land had been driven away by God because of the sins and abominations they were practicing. One of these abominations was putting symbols or tattoos on their bodies of the gods which they worshipped, or the tattoos were like symbols of loyalty to certain deities. So God says, when you get into this promised land now, I do not want you to put tattoos on your bodies. For the pagans that were before you who did things, now I drove them away because of this abomination. So the verse there clearly suggests now, although indirectly, that it is improper for a Christian to put a tattoo. That is why I say, when we approach this question now, we want to take it theologically. Theologically now, we look at the consistency of that teaching within the entire Bible, not based on one text. So what is the purpose of a tattoo? That would help us to understand if it is right or wrong for Christians. Can you at least help me to understand, what do you think people put tattoos on their bodies?
You want me to answer that, Mpundis?
Yes, I want to be in conversation with you.
Okay, all right. So tattoos have always been used, mainly been used by people as tributes to an experience, to a person, or an ideal, and even an aspiration. Some use it purely as a matter of peer pressure.
Okay. You know, in what you are saying, if I'm to sum it in simple terms, you are saying tattoos, you have got to do with yourself, isn't it?
Right. That I can accept that, Mpunis, yes.
Yeah, so you see, without relying on the Bible, we can actually see that the reason, the motive behind putting a tattoo on one's body, that reason behind is the problem that we need to address. Because most of the people who put these tattoos, either they are members of a certain occult organization, it is a sign of membership, or either they are very proud people who are pompous about themselves. So they are doing it as a form of display to show how outstanding they are among everyone else. And of course, others are doing it because they cannot make decisions and themselves, they are victims of peer pressure. So all those reasons simply explain that it has got to do with self. Now, a Christian is someone who is dead to self. It is a person who accepts that when they received Jesus and surrendered their lives to Jesus. Now, I would want you to go with me in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. You can read it for me. Unfortunately, the program caught me on the road, so I don't leave the Bible closer to me, so you can assist me with reading that verse, Galatians 2, verse 20.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, I'm reading it from the New International Version. My version that I have in my hand says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay, powerful. Now, this verse is telling us that when you become a Christian, something dies, and that something is your personality. It is yourself. When you come into Christ, self does not exist. Christ now takes over your body. When Christ takes over your body, now it means that you can no longer save the lust of the flesh, which might incline you to put tattoos on your body. Now, I'm talking about the people who have not yet put tattoos on their body. I'll come to a section where I'll have to address those who received the Christ, but they've already put tattoos on their bodies. So this verse is telling us that when we surrender our life to Christ, we become Christians. Christ drives the motives of our heart, which means we ask ourselves before we take any step, would Christ put a tattoo on his body? And I think an honest answer is that Christ would not do that. We would not find Christ writing with imprints, writing, drawing a dragon on his body, or a snake or serpent, or the so-called popular themes of the day. Christ would not do that. So if you are a Christian and you have the audacity of doing it, it simply shows that Christ is not controlling the reins of your heart. You are still in control of yourself.
How do you respond to people who quote Revelation 19, verse 16, Mfundis? Revelation 19, verse 16 says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the King James Version. People who quote that version, yes. So how do you respond to people who are referring to that Revelation text as a tattoo that Jesus has on his thigh? Your response there.
Okay. Can you read it again? There's a word I want to catch there. Can you read it again?
Which version are you comfortable with, Mfunis? Because the one I was reading was the King James Version.
Okay. There's a word I missed, I think.
Okay, same version I read is the King James. It says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
All right. And then people use that verse to say Jesus has a tattoo.
Right.
Jesus has a tattoo.
Right.
Okay. Can I say, I'm not familiar with soccer because it's not one of my sports, but let me just use a metaphor this way.
Right.
If I am a soccer player and I'm written number 9, do I have a tattoo?
So it depends where you're talking about. Where are you written number 9? Because there are soccer players who have tattoos on their thighs and on their vestures. So here it refers to the vesture and also the thigh. So there's two things here. So there's the garment and then there's the flesh. Here the verse we're reading refers to the vest and refers to the actual thigh.
Right. There are two things that people must understand there.
Right.
This vision that John is seeing, it is symbolical. It is not literal.
Right.
So when we start to say everything we see in a vision, then we take it literally, we are most likely to be led astray by such kind of interpretation.
But
biblical prophecies.
Remember, Fundis, in hermeneutics, the first rule of hermeneutics is whatever you are reading, you first need to understand it in its literal form, and then you can translate it to any other. So you can't ignore the literal interpretation unless you're suggesting everything is not literal. Then effectively, we'll go back to the Decalogue and say, it doesn't mean literally. You can kill. It doesn't mean it literally. Fornication? Nah. Adultery? Nah. It doesn't mean literally. It seems fine the figurative way. So I'm worried that if we're going to run away from the literal meaning and simply disassociate the literal meaning, we may be running into other problems of interpretation when we're interpreting other texts. Jesus Christ died on the cross. No, he didn't die literally. He died figuratively. Surely that would be a problem if we're going to run away from the literal interpretation, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. When we are interpreting in the rules of hermeneutics, we have got the rules of understanding what are called apocalyptic scriptures.
Literature, yes.
Prophecies cannot be literally translated.
Right.
We have literal meanings from other chapters that are classical. But when we come to prophecies, for example, let's say I'm opening the book of Daniel chapter 7, where I'm seeing those beasts that are coming.
Right.
There's no literal meaning to that directly.
Right.
Unless
right.
we have to get the figurative meaning of that.
Right.
So
right.
whenever a prophet says, I'm seeing a vision, the fact that it is a vision, it has already taken that from the realm of literal things. So we have to get it from the spiritual meaning. And basing on the mind, on this understanding, that the Mosaic law prevented people to have tattoos. Ancient Mosaic law prevented people to have tattoos. And in that sense, if you were to take it literal, in knowing that Jesus was a Jew, then he would not have a tattoo on his body. So this scripture of Revelation chapter 19, verse 16 that you just read, which says that when he robed, or when Jesus was seen on his thigh, it was written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We cannot just say, you see, he's written King of Kings, so he has a tattoo. Because the same chapter, if you read from the beginning, I think verse 12, it tells us that his eyes are like blazing fire. But is that what his eyes are like?
Right.
You see, so we don't translate what we see. We have to seek for the understanding, the meaning which it depicts. Now, let me try to help you this way. In ancient Israel, the kings of Israel, if you check their histories, they had their names with them on 3 items. The name of the king would be on his crown. This is why you find the purple on his mitre, his vicarious spirit. That's where they adopted the system for. That's number 1. Number 2, the name of a ruling king would be written on his throne where he leaned just slightly above his head there, there will be labeled his name. And the third place where you would find the king's name, it would be written on a porch that carried his sword. Remember, when they were going to a battle in ancient Israel, it was the king who led the army, was at the forefront. So people had a tendency of putting decoys to have them killed on fighting place of the king, protecting their queens there. So it was their culture that the king would have that label on a pouch that was tied around his waist. So this pouch now would extend to his waist. In the ancient belief, when you're looking for the name of the king, they would look at his thigh. So this is why you find John now, a Jew who is familiar to the fact that the name of a king who is ruling is seen on the thigh. In this vision, when he sees Jesus, he glances at the thigh to identify if this man is a king sitting on the throne. Which king is this one? This is why he says, on his thigh it was written, Jesus, King of Kings. But if we are to literally look at that scripture, it doesn't say it was written on his flesh. It simply says it was written on his thigh. Just like when I'm wearing a jersey that is written number 11, you can see that boy or that man who is written number right. 7, come here.
Okay.
But unless you be very specific, who is wearing a t-shirt label, but upload the detail we find in that verse there.
So when you read the verse in Funisi, it speaks to you about two things. And that's what I was hoping you would address. The first thing it's referring to what in the King James Version is calling the vesture, but in other versions calls it the garment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that there are clothes that are written the name. But this text doesn't only leave it on the garment. It goes on to speak about the thigh. So we are fully aware that there is the thigh and then there is the garment. In the in the Amplified Version, it says, and on his robe and on his thigh. So here it suggests that the clothing and the thigh. Surely there needs to be some explication there. So they are not denying that on the robe that is written. It simply does not end there to say on the clothing. It goes on to say on the thigh.
Yes, yes, yes. It goes on to say on the thigh.
Right.
And again, understanding that this is a vision.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
When we understand that this is a vision, we cannot put a literal direct meaning to that.
Okay.
We have to find the figurative meaning of this vision, which is consistent to biblical teachings. The Bible, when explained each and every verse, it has to be in harmony. Because 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 says, God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
So it has to be in harmony with other scriptures.
Yeah, now, that's what we're asking you to do, to harmonize it, Mfundisi. There's a text message here that I'd like you to respond to before we run out of time, Mfundisi. It says, I nearly read the wrong one. It says, so is the problem the dragon I have or the ink itself? If I have a cross or verse, is that acceptable?
An interesting question. All right, let me make this quick summary before we run out of time now. Our bodies are the temples of God. The verse that you read for us yesterday, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6, verse 19 and 20, right?
Right.
If this body is a temple of God and we are obliged to take good care of it now, we are to avoid anything that harms the body, temple of God. Now, those tattoos that are printed on our bodies, most of these tattoos, the ink that is used to print them contains mercury, and mercury is a harmful substance. So it is not the picture that you are drawn which is the problem, but it is the motive and the effect to the body temple that you should be concerned about. Because that verse you read yesterday makes it clear that if you do anything which destroys the body temple,
right.
God will destroy you too. So if these inks have mercury, which is the possibility of damaging your own health, putting it on yourself now, it means you are deliberately making a decision to harm or to injure the body temple. And by so doing, the judgment is passed already on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that God will destroy whoever destroys the temple. So as Christians, we are to shun such practices, because these practices, they will harm us. Even when you write, "I love you, Jesus," on your body, the ink, the components, the contents of this ink is what is going to harm you. They will not respect the good message written on your body. And God now says, "I have a problem with anyone who harms the body temple." So for those who have tattoos now, God says, "I forgive in time of ignorance," but now he commands everyone to repent. He welcomes them. He wants them to worship them, to worship him with their tattoos. That's okay. If they can be rubbed, well, get them rubbed. If they can't be rubbed, Jesus says on John 6, verse 37, "He that comes unto me, we know why is cast out." But those that do not have these tattoos, we are not to make a deliberate choice to put them on our bodies, knowing well the consequences it brings on our body temple.
So what if the ink is organic? If there's no mercury in the ink, would that be fine?
Come again?
If the ink that I've used to put a tattoo of a verse or a cross does not have mercury, it's organic, would that be fine?
I'm yet to discover if there is an ink that does not have mercury. If it does not have mercury, from the research that I did, you see that it has another component called acetic. I may not be able to pronounce that name, which is also harmful to the human body. But if there is an organic ink, as you are saying, which again allows one to make a tattoo but not harming themselves, it comes again back to the spirit driving you to make those tattoos. It is the pride of heart which brought the devil down. We are supposed to die to self now. Christ is to live in us.
So hold on, Pastor. So you're saying the issue is not necessarily the mercury now, because we do know that there are non-toxic inks that are used by some tattoo parlors. You're saying it's no longer the mercury now.
I'm saying the mercury is another problem or another reason why one should not make tattoos.
Yes, if you have natural ink, for example, the non-toxic one that doesn't have mercury, what are you saying about that?
Now, on the non-toxic now, we look at the reason behind, the motive, the spirit that drove you to put that tattoo on your body.
To write a Bible verse, the verse that convicted me when the pastor was preaching, he quoted the verse and I felt convicted by that verse, and I've decided the verse that Pastor Ticharo was reading, I'm going to put it on my shoulder. I'm going to put a verse of that on my shoulder with non-toxic ink. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I say now to that, we are to die to self. The reason why one puts a tattoo is to attract attention, for people to see you, to look at you. But okay, we are to point all people to Christ, the Lamb of God. We are to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We are not to compete with Christ for the attention, to attract all eyes on us.
They are attracting attention to the verse, Mfundisi, to the verse.
That is John 1, verse 29, where John calls out people. Can you read it for us? John 1, verse 29.
Okay. I've just been told I've run out of time again. Hey, all right. I'm going through to John chapter 1, verse 29, right, Mfunis?
Yeah.
"The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'"
Okay, that is to be our motto. Everyone who comes within our proximity, we are to point them to Christ, the Lamb of God.
Yes, so remember, what if somebody writes John 1:29 on their as a tattoo on there? They write John chapter 1, verse 29.
People to God when they are looking at your body.
Say that again.
Because most of the parts which tattoos are placed, they are indecent parts of
the body. No, on the shoulder, Mfundisi, or on the thigh like Jesus. Or put it on the thigh or on the shoulder. Nothing indecent.
Well, the ultimate goal, I would say, as Christians,
right,
we are not to do anything that attracts attention to us, but rather to Christ. Okay. We are not to do anything that has the possibility of injuring the body temple, but rather while preserving it, we are not to do anything that promotes pride,
right,
within our Christian lives. All those things were pagan originated behaviors.
Right.
It was not a custom known to Israel to put tattoos on the bodies.
Okay.
That is why God forbade them to adopt such a culture on Leviticus 19:28 that we read before.
Okay.
So as Christians, we are not to adopt it because it is pagan in origin, the purpose, the meaning. They are all pagan in nature. So as
right.
Christians, let's just abstain from it. We
yeah.
have got a beautiful body created wonderfully and fearfully made. Why do we have to put alterations in our body?
Okay.
We are as beautiful as we created.
Okay, Phineas. All right. Thank you very much for your time again. Interesting stuff. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow, Pastor Eric Tejarwa. Have a wonderful day further. Thank you, Phineas.
Thank you.
All right. That's how we end our Ask a Pastor segment for today.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.